Welcome to Confessions of a Sales Pro. My very special guest this week is a gentleman by the name of Dan Fantasia, president of Treeline Inc. in Boston, Mass. Dan has been in the field of sales recruiting since 1997 and founded Treeline in 2001. His exclusive focus is on helping companies build world-class elite sales teams and has helped change the lives of over 3,600 sales professionals to date. Dan has developed a deep knowledge of what it takes to build and grow a top-producing business. As a proven sales leader and innovator, Dan has created a positively charged culture that promotes the good in every person, resulting in a team that has developed best-in-practice methodologies and technology that continues to revolutionize the industry. Dan, my friend, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Ian. Thanks for having me today.
I know you're busy. You've got a lot going on and business is booming. So on behalf of the listeners and myself, thanks for taking the time to stop by today and share with us. Dan, I'm always fascinated by someone's backstory, right? Like what got them started in the first place. And by the way, 3,600 sales professionals, that's a hugely impressive number. So before we can get started, congratulations on that.
Yeah, thank you, Ian. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's a wonderful feeling. It's an industry and a business that really pays you back. And it just feels good. It really feels good
to help people, right? I mean, sure, we all get paid for our wares and our services, but when you can change lives, the life trajectory of someone's career, that's so, so rewarding. So, my friend, how did you get into recruiting? And why did you start Treeline? I'm fascinated.
Yeah, you know, it's basically I fell into it. You know, I've always been a people person. I was in sales before I got into recruiting, and it was time for me to make a change. And I went to a recruiting firm, and I was looking at technology sales opportunities, and they said, before you consider any of these opportunities, why not consider recruiting? And at the time, Ian, I was like, what? I don't even know what recruiting is. Matter of fact, my friends and family didn't know what recruiting was, right? I had no idea. But I loved the company. I loved the culture, the CEO. I mean, everything about it was just a good fit for me. It was 100% commission at the time, but I just fell in love with it. So I joined the organization in 1997. That's when I started my sales recruiting career. And I was horrible at it. I was naive. I couldn't take leadership, and I wasn't good. But after my first 6 months, the CEO sat down with me and said, you know, what are you doing? Let's work on this. Let's coach you. And within that next year, I was one of the top producers, then managing partner, and I had a tremendous amount of success. I left because the business model was changing, and I started Treeline to do a whole bunch of things. One was, again, as you mentioned, to promote the good in every person. And to build an environment, an awesome, fun, fast-paced, you know, environment where people could really enjoy the work they do. And that's what makes this job so great. I mean, we get to work with so many awesome people. They're all in sales. They're all dynamic. They're all motivated. They're a lot of fun to talk with. And more importantly, it's a lot of fun to help them advance their career, both professionally as well as financially.
That's a wonderful backstory. And I love the first thing you said, the CEO sat down with you after 6 months and said, what's going on? And the impact that coaching had on you, Dan, you would certainly agree that ending up being one of the top producers the very next year had a huge impact on you. And then you went and jumped out of the plane and hoped the parachute opened and started your own business. That's to be congratulated as well, because it's not for everyone. That's for sure. And it sounds like you're really passionate, Dan, about culture. Like that comes across so strong in your message, in your tone, in your passion. So if you will, like, I want to know more about something. So Treeline's consistently recognized as a best place to work in all of the USA. Many of my listeners and myself would love to know more about how you built this positively charged culture, Dan.
Yeah, you know, I guess it starts from the top down, right? You have to have belief in what you're doing, and it has to be important to you, right? Ian, if culture is not one of your top priorities, then it just doesn't you know, flow down through the rest of the company, and you can never have a best place to work. I mean, we've been best place to work in Boston. We've been recognized number 1, 2, or 3, 8, 9 years. Inc. magazine's recognized us as best place to work across the United States. And a lot of that is hiring great people that share our core values, but also it's the ability to operate an organization with full transparency and getting the opinion from the team. So while we have a great, fun, high energy, positive environment, that is all awesome. But on a quarterly basis, we also are always asking our team what we need to do better. So we do something called start, stop, keep. So on a quarterly basis, that is, we ask the company, what do you think we should start doing, stop doing, and keep doing? And this is incredibly important, Ian, because while I think a lot of my ideas are fun and great and awesome, and you know, it motivates the team, sometimes what is important to me or what I think is a great idea is not a great idea for the team. And so if you can't listen and understand what's happening in the company and the organization to understand their opinions and what they think would make the company better, then sometimes you may be off the mark. And while you may be offering one thing, it may not be important to them. It may not be a spiff. It may not be, a gadget or something of that nature. It might be time off. So it all depends on what is most important to the team. And if you're not communicating and you don't have open dialogue, it's really hard to understand how to point the company in a certain direction and make it a best place to work, because you won't understand what your company and employees are looking for.
It's so well said, Dan. And you're right. Culture, if you don't do anything, it can't be an accident. It has to be intentional. So you began that statement with, it's got to be belief. It's got to be top down, and it's important. It's not just tick a box. It's something you stand for, right? It's your why. So I love that you're passionate about that. And listen, start, stops, and keep doing on a quarterly. Listen to your team and implement what you hear. You're right. It might not be, you know, a dinner for two or a trip to Hawaii. It might be, give me 2 days off to take my family somewhere, right? And so listening and implementing, no wonder you're the best place to work. I can already tell because of the leadership of it. I like how you preface core values, right? That's where the belief comes from. I notice your core values are do what's right, empower people, compete to win every day, and grit. What role do core values play at Treeline, Dan?
Yeah, you know, we used to have a mission statement, right? And it was a paragraph, and it was all over the entire office. But if you would ask someone what our mission statement was, they couldn't tell you. It's too long. No one should remember it. You know what I mean? You just couldn't remember it. We switched to core values. And by the way, it's, you're just reading, four words, four statements. But they're incredibly important to our organization. And this really changed the way we functioned as an organization. And the reason why is because when we look to hire, the right people based on, of course, their background, their skill set, and their requirements. But we also hire them based on their core values. Do they align with our core values? Because if they don't align with your core values, what we found is you could have a very high producer, but if they don't align with the company's core values and they don't live them on a daily basis, then what ultimately happens is they become cancerous or negative to the environment. And so then that's where sales organizations struggle, right? You have a top producer, but they're bringing down the team. And so managers always struggle with that. A lot of times they keep the producer, even though they're eroding the fabric of the culture and the environment and the team, because they want the revenue. Well, and we've made those mistakes in the past too. But now it's different. By looking at core values, we interview based on those core values so that we know these people share the exact same core values as we do. And then on a quarterly basis, when we do our talent assessments, we talk about core values and how they live them in the organization, as well as their productivity. And the reason why those things are so important is because if they need help and they need coaching on their core values, for example, if they aren't showing grit, and maybe they had a few placements that didn't go their way, and if they're frumping around or negative, that doesn't display grit. Grit means you get back up and you keep going, right? And so we would coach a person and say, you know, your grit is really low right now. Can you come back from this? Do you have, you said you had grit when you started this organization. How will you live your, how are you going to live your core values? How are you going to live with grit? What are you going to do to change that? And here are some suggestions. The idea is you help people be top producers when it comes to productivity, and you help them to become top producers in regards to their personality traits and growing as an individual for their life. And when you do that, now you are coaching people to become A players. That's positive people with a positive mentality that live the core values on a daily basis, that spread that and reinforce it, and also hit their productivity goals so they can find success.
No wonder you've recruited so many top producers, Dan. It's no accident here at all. I mean, I like how you went from mission statement to core values, because you're right. No one's going to stand on a soapbox and, you know, read out the mission statement like they wrote it and believe it. Not only that, it's usually a mouthful at best anyway. So breaking it down to core values makes so much sense. And how you built this is you interview on the core value. You interview and hire on core values. In fact, beyond that, you coach on the core values. So no wonder you keep growing top producers on your team, let alone for your clients, Dan. That's remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. I mean, not everyone gets it right, right? I mean, the world's full of mistakes. With your company's reputation for such high standards, when hiring sales professionals, what is the number one mistake most companies make when trying to recruit a top sales producer, Dan? Now, you've had tons of experience at this. I'm sure you've got some real insights on this.
Yeah, this is going to sound so simple. It's not, they don't make it a top priority. Like hiring a top salesperson, it always seems like it's very important. But when you get down to it and you realize how hard it is to find the right individuals for your organizations, companies tend to get distracted. They focus on the next deal, the numbers, the revenue, which is all critically important. But top producing companies make it their number one priority. And by making it a number one priority, they do a few things. They have crystal clear requirements, right? They understand what their ICP, and what we call that is the ideal candidate profile, looks like. So they know exactly what they're looking for. Then what they do is they have functional accountability around what it's going to take to find those individuals. So whoever's in charge of recruiting those individuals, they have key performance indicators and metrics that will make them successful. It's an outreach campaign. It's just like building your sales organization. When you build your sales organization, you put a salesperson in a territory. They have functional accountability. They have responsibilities on how many calls they need to make, how many emails they need to make, so on and so forth, in order for them to be successful and to hit their numbers. Well, in recruiting, you need to do the same thing. Your recruiting team needs to be built just like your sales organization is, because if it's not, you won't drive the traffic or find the people that you need to build top producing sales organization. And then lastly, the best companies, they know how to get people excited. They don't oversell their organization, but they sell the company first before they make the interview too challenging, or before they do a deep dive. They get people emotionally attached and excited, and they move them through the process quickly so that they can target and attract and hire the top talent to grow their organization and beat out the competition.
Wow, that is amazing. I get how companies can make some of those mistakes where oh, they've got their pipeline. They're trying to close some business. They're worried about a competitor. They're coming out with a new product. They've opened a new territory. And there's lots of things, lots of noise out there that can take the attention away from making the number one priority, bringing on the top possible talent as possible. So, and then when they do, as you said, clear requirements. You've got the KPIs, the metrics on what great actually looks like, and that's what you go for. And the recruitment process is the same as the sales process. Of course it is. Absolutely it is. And I'd like to just have these key requirements, Dan. So how do you consult with companies, your clients, to identify these key requirements needed to hire a top producer?
Yeah, we before we do any search, we go in to understand what their sales model looks like. And then we offer advice where it, you know, where needed. But basically, what we're trying to figure out is what are the key characteristics to their selling environment. What we mean by that is who is the target audience they're selling to? Are they selling to a C-level executive? Are they selling to a manager? What is their average deal size? What is their sales cycle? What is their quota? Right? Are they are their sales team transactional in nature, or are they consultative? Is it a more strategic type sale? And the reason why we go in and try to identify all these key characteristics is because we're trying to find individuals that match those characteristics. So we want years of experience. We want industry. We want all of those requirements. But we also want to understand these personality traits, because as we go to market, we want to make sure that our sales reps that we're introducing to you align exactly with your sales environment. So when they hit the ground, they can hit the ground running and they can get to market quickly and effectively. And if we don't understand that, it is very challenging to go to market, because the candidates we're driving to you may be the brushstroke of talent is so wide that the hiring team sometimes gets confused. And because we move so quickly, our average search takes 30 days or less. We guarantee your first top sales candidate that we submit to you is within 3 days. And so we want to laser focus. We want to go to market as aggressively as possible to bring you the talent you need to be successful and to grow your organization. If we can't understand that, it's nearly impossible to find you the right talent. The second thing we like to do is we like to understand who your top producers are. Because by understanding your top producers and where they've come from, it helps us to understand the personality, the characteristics, the type of individual that you're looking for. So those things, and sometimes, by the way, a lot of companies take this for granted. They don't recognize it. It's right under their nose. But from an outsider's point of view, it's a lot easier. We've built so many organizations over the past 23 years. It's really easy to understand and see some of the discrepancies, to understand what it's going to take to find the right talent. And then we go to market and we deliver in record time.
That's amazing. I was just thinking as you were talking, Dan, I think you drink your own Kool-Aid. I think you go in, understand your customers' core values. You understand the key characteristics of their sales model, their target audience. What's the demographic profile? Are we going into the C-suite? Where are we? Deals to all of those things. And then you go even further into personality traits. I like the second stage, where you work with the existing top producers and learn a lot about who they are, where they're from, what's their experience, what's their success, because you want to complement the team. You don't want to bring an average down. You want to bring it up. And that's amazing. 30-day laser focus. That is something to be very, very proud of. Oh, Dan, you scratched a lot of foreheads today and raised eyebrows, I'm sure. I'm sure many of our listeners out there are wanting to learn more about your process, how you do it, your services. How would the listener, Dan, best reach out to get a hold of you or touch base with your company? What's the best way to say hello?
Yeah, I mean, you could go to our website, which is treelineinc.com. So treelineinc.com. There's a ton of information there. You can fill out a contact us form. You can say, I'd love to talk to Dan Fantasia. I will get back to you right away. You're also welcome to connect with me on LinkedIn, just at Dan Fantasia. That's my LinkedIn URL. Check, you know what? Send me a message. connect with me, send me a message, any questions you have, any help you need. I'm happy to offer any advice or at least my opinion of your situation. And you can take it if you like it. And if you don't, it's okay. But feel free to connect with me at any time.
Once again, my special guest this week, folks, Dan Fantasia, president of Treeline Inc. in Boston, Massachusetts. Dan, on behalf of the listeners, thank you so much for sharing your ideas, your energy, your passion, and your success with us today.
Thank you for having me.
It's been my pleasure. And thank you all for listening to Confessions of a Sales Pro.
If you have found this episode informative and helpful, we would be honored and appreciative if you would share this podcast with other great salespeople like yourself. And we look forward to you joining us for all new episodes weekly, every Thursday. Please subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. If you'd like us to help you grow your sales commissions, visit us at salesmentoryou.com. Confessions of a Sales Pro. Lessons, more wins. With Ian Selby.